Everybody, welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. It's season 2, episode 4. And man, we got a good one for you guys this week, as we're going to be reviewing week number 6 in the NFL. And this is going to be a fun one. Let's start off with the Bears.
Okay, we'll start with the Chicago Bears. I know, Nick, we're going to get into the reffing crew, but
yep.
Beforehand, like last year, for instance, if this Bears team was in the position that they were in this game, down, I believe it was 24-16 in the fourth quarter, they would have rolled over, probably lost the game. And especially with the refs, there were some questionable calls, but nonetheless, the Bears battled back, and they did get a fortunate fumble at the end of the game to come back and win the game, which was not good for us, but it was cool to see with the whole revenge versus the Commanders game and Tyreek Stevenson. Definitely a good win. Now, 2 weeks in a row for a blocked field goal and now a field goal to win it. Is it good enough? We'll see.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I feel like the Bears last year, or even at the beginning of the season, would have folded over and would have lost the game.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see a little bit that the Bears are starting to pick it up a little bit. And I guess we can talk about a little bit of the reffing crew about this game, where there was some questionable calls on really both ends.
Yeah, I know that we're going to get into this one later, but there was definitely a illegal motion call, which actually may or may not have been true on the Roma Dunes, a touchdown that got called back. But there was a offensive PI on Loveland who ran about 3 yards up. The cornerback was going into his zone coverage anyway, and they called it OPI. It was really soft. The refs did play a big factor in this game. They definitely gave Washington points, I'm not going to lie. But nonetheless, the Bears still won the game. So that's what matters at the end of the day for them.
Yeah, the illegal motion, we'll get into it on another game, as you guys will find out. But it's definitely a good revenge game for the Bears after the last year getting the Hail Mary against them. Tyron Stevenson had a better game this game than pretty much he's had since the Hail Mary. So it's good to see that. Not really for us as Lions and Packers fans, but it's good to see Washington, who we all kind of watched last year as they took down the Lions in the playoffs. And going from there, it was like making sure that the NFC North kind of takes out the NFC East this year.
I want to mention, too, because last week we did touch on it, the Bears, man, they were able to run the football. Absolutely run the football. DeAndre Swift had a breakout game. I think it was like 19 for 108 or something like that with a 5 average. He was an absolute beast tonight. That's what they wanted to see. On the other flip side, I was pretty surprised that Washington wasn't really able to run the football as much. Good for the Bears that they were able to run the football, because they desperately needed that, because you and I were both talking about, will this be a team looking for a running back in the trade deadline? So Swift had a good...
I think still they're going to be looking for a running back, but you touched on it last week. We mentioned, what is this front 7 going to do for the Bears defense? And they stepped up in the run game. So good to see that aspect of that game coming to fruition. But let's stop talking about the Bears and move on to the Green Bay Packers. Now, I predicted this game incorrectly. I will put that. I had the Bengals winning this game just to throw a wrench into it. But the Packers come out on top 27-18.
Yeah, looking at the score, you can go the Packers won by 9, but actually, I was considering not even watching this game because, or at least having it on the background, because it's Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Flacco. The Bengals defense really is bad. Josh Jacobs had a great day, but again, it was a close game until the end when we had Lucas, I can't even say his last name because our kicker was out, hit a 40-yard field goal, 30-yard field goal, something like that, to go up 27-18 just under 3 minutes to go. But it was 24-18 in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. And I was like, this is going to happen again. It's going to happen again. But luckily, the Packers were able to close it out. Ja'Marr Chase, absolute beast. That guy torched us. On a fourth and five, I believe, the Packers gave up a 19-yard touchdown to him, which was good coverage, but Ja'Marr Chase just made the play. What can you do? For the Packers, it's a win. That's what matters the most. It's a win, but wasn't in the fashion that I thought that they would come out in. But it was good to see Josh Jacobs. He did really well. And also Matthew Golden.
Yeah, you mentioned last week the creativity of Matt LaFleur, and we somewhat saw that with back-to-back reverse plays. Now, I want to ask you this. How scared are you with the fact that we were talking about creativity and they run similar plays back-to-back?
I don't know why Matt LaFleur has this weird idea of A, he's giving Matthew Golden like these jet sweeps and then also running it back to back. That's like a guy, Savion Williams is a guy you drafted for that. But nonetheless, it's giving it back to back. Stop going side to side, bound or out of bounds line to out of bounds line. Run the football up the middle, stop getting cute. And I really don't understand where this came from because it's only been a this year thing, which we're seeing it more and more, especially back to back. I've never really seen just, I don't know if it's a lack of creativity or if he's trying to do too much at this point, but nonetheless, it's not good. With Savion, he hasn't had the run like that off a jet sweep for 10 plus yards. It's been 2 or 3 yards, but you got to do more. But nonetheless, Matthew Golden, I want to highlight on this, really made some clutch catches, highlight that was absolutely unbelievable. So he showed out. It was like 3 for 80 something yards, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
I would say it's something like that.
Yeah, so he had a good game, really clutch when we needed him to be. But the other problem too that I want to touch on, it's such a weird thing, is punt returns. For some reason, we don't give Savion Williams a chance to return punts. We put out Romeo Doubs, who's wearing a concussion helmet. We put out Matthew Golden, our number one draft pick. It's what is our special teams coordinator and Rich Bisaccia trying to do, man? Make it stop. I don't understand this. It is so bizarre.
Yeah, I can agree with you. It's definitely crazy to see Romeo Doubs out there, especially wearing the Guardian helmet, and punt returns is not easy by any means. And you drafted a guy to do that, to be your speedster, your return guy, and you're not utilizing him. There has to be something internal, whether it's they don't feel confident in him returning punts, but if you don't feel confident in him returning punts, why did you draft him to return punts? Makes no sense.
Yeah, this game honestly was what it is. There's not too much to take away. There's not too much to really highlight on. Packers got the job done. They're up to 3-1-1. So that's where you want to be heading into Arizona for next week. But Nick, I know we're going to be spending a lot of time on this next game because there's more to talk about. We'll talk about your Detroit Lions and Kansas City Chiefs. I'll let you start off with a topic that you want to start with, wherever you want to start.
I guess we can start with something that ended the game in the Brian Branch versus Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, looking at all of the footage and all of the camera angles, you can see about 5 minutes prior, Brian Branch is moving on a defensive play and he gets blocked in the back by Juju Smith-Schuster and gets stepped over. So I don't know how that's not a block in the back or a blindside block or even taunting because he turned around and started screaming at him. And obviously, Brian Branch should have never done that, what he did, starting a scuffle at the end of the game. But you got to look at all angles. You got to look at every single aspect of this game. Now, another thing I want to touch on. Roughing the passer. Let's take a deep dive into this. So we saw in a different game this week with the 49ers versus the Buccaneers where Baker Mayfield was laid out, completely laid out. And he got right back up and started screaming at the defender. And then you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes who Hutchinson's a big guy. He is a big guy. He's 6'7", like 325 or something like that. Pure muscle. But he gets tapped and he falls 5 yards back. And it's a roughing the passer call. We need to get rid of the roughing the passer call. It's one of the weakest calls in football. And another bad call. There's going to be a lot of bad calls in this.
I just want to say I disagree with getting rid of roughing the passer completely. I think the refs need to have a standard to where they can base really what is roughing the passer. Because the rule that I'm getting, which I think has been now for 2 years, is a defender cannot lay his full body on the quarterback, or he cannot go to the upper body area within the face. I don't disagree with that. I think we do need to protect people and protect quarterbacks to a certain extent. However, I don't agree with these soft calls of just because a quarterback falls. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show or not, but 2 weeks ago in the Giants-Saints game, I think I did mention it if you're nodding your head, but I'll bring it up again. It was Jackson Dart who, from the angle the ref had, it looked like the defender fully laid out Jackson Dart, landed on his back, but the defender actually chest bumped him in the back and rolled over him. It was like the cleanest hit you could have in 2025. Right. And I don't know, he just immediately threw the flag. And it was just like, dude, at least take a second to understand the positioning, where the defender's at, you know, what really happened, or talk to the other refs before you just throw out the flag. Things like that are just so critical in games and decisions. And it really is frustrating because there's no consistency. I think that's what we're looking for, is consistency.
Yeah. And to the head or neck area, we've seen clips of, I'll give an example, Jared Goff, where he gets rid of the ball and 5 seconds later, he's getting hit helmet to helmet with the guy wrapping his arms around the neck and no flag. But every time Patrick Mahomes gets touched, there's a flag. There has to be, like you said, a standard for what roughing the passer is, or just completely get rid of it. If there's no standard, get rid of it. And let's talk about the defensive pass interference.
Wait, hold on. Before we go into that, I actually just want to quickly touch on this because since we're talking about penalties and standards, how about taunting? You know, I really understand the NFL is cracking down on taunting. Week one, Xavier McKinney got fined $11,000 when he taunted, I think it was Amon-Ra St. Brown. And he didn't even do anything crazy. It was soft, in my opinion. Now, in the Chiefs game, I saw, okay, I'm not trying to sound like refs are just the reason why this game. They did play a big part, though. But I'm just trying to understand what are penalties, what are not. Because I'll go, so to my example, Patrick Mahomes scored a touchdown. I think he threw the ball, turned around at, I don't even know who it was, on the Lions.
Branch.
It was Brian Branch, okay. How is that not taunting by any means? Like, you're throwing the football at him. You're turning around. You're clearly making a gesture to him. Xavier McKinney did the same thing week one and got fined. So where is the standard for what is taunting, what is not?
So I know exactly what you're talking about on both ends. And to be fair, I don't think that Xavier McKinney's was taunting.
It was soft.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
It was very soft. But the Patrick Mahomes one, he scored the touchdown. Brian Branch tried ripping the ball out. And then Patrick Mahomes chucked the ball at him, turned at him, pointed right at him, flexed, and went like this, like saying, "Get off me."
Like in Jersey.
That should 100% be taunting. If a Jameson Williams doing the Marshawn Lynch jump into the end zone or dunking the football through the goalposts, doing the Calvin Johnson on Megatron Day last year is taunting, and he's fined $20,000 for both. That play by Patrick Mahomes should 100% be taunting.
So I want to ask you this. So do you think that the NFL is not really concerned with offensive players taunting? Do you think they're cracking down more on defensive players?
I think it could be they're cracking down on defensive players, but I've seen a lot where I think, let's talk about that. How I mentioned Jameson Williams from last year doing the Marshawn Lynch jump into the end zone. He also did the Key and Peele three pump in the end zone against Washington, and he dunked the ball into the fall, like the goalpost. And he was fined over $20,000 for that and flagged for taunting. So I think they're cracking down on defensive players, but I think they're also giving it to offensive players. So I don't get where Patrick Mahomes is not getting flagged for taunting if it's not being favored to the Chiefs.
Yeah, and that's super unfortunate because from my perspective, like a non-biased perspective, I 100% thought that was taunting, should have been. I'm not crying about it or trying to sound like a complainer by any means. I'm trying to understand as a viewer for these penalties, because if you were to explain, you know, these penalties to, or explain the game to a new viewer, right? And they're going, one team is really getting screwed here by these penalties. Why is that? It shouldn't be that way. So I'm just trying to understand a standard and really questioning what the ref's integrity is, because if there's no standard or if there's inconsistencies, then as you said, we got to really adjust what the penalty is.
Yeah. And moving on to what I was going to talk about next was the defensive pass interference call on, I believe it was Rocky Sin against Travis Kelce. Now, you are allowed to make contact with the receiver within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. That is allowed. So Rocky Sin did that. He made contact within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, did not hold the jersey or anything. The pass was completely overthrown. It was not catchable by any means. And the play was already dead. And Travis Kelce raises his hands like, where's the penalty? And about 5 seconds after the play is dead, the penalty comes out. Now,
yeah,
there was a lot of calls on Kansas City where it was like an offsides on Chris Jones at the goal line that should have been called on the illegal motion play, mind you. There was a lot of holding on the offensive line. Jawan Taylor, who is famous for false starting, he did it 95% of the snaps again with no calls. And holding Hutchinson. It's the same thing that happened in week one of 2023 where he is being held. And then there was that play where Patrick Mahomes, we talked about this prior to recording, where Patrick Mahomes is scrambling on, I believe it was a 3rd and 6. And Tyreek Williams, he was being held extremely. So there has to be a standard for penalties. And it can't be blatantly favoring a team.
Yeah.
University of Texas El Paso did a study where they found that about 68% of all calls have been favored towards the Chiefs, no matter what the call is. I was talking to one of my coworkers. He's like, yeah, Vegas cannot have Kansas City start 2-4.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really interesting how much Vegas plays into these games. It's a shame. It really is a shame that we have to, as a viewer, have these thoughts in the back of our head. Is this real? It is competitive. Don't get me wrong, these games are legit, but there are just some skeptical things you can really scratch your head at. Why are these refs getting so heavily involved, or why are they not? It just doesn't really make sense, and it's not a good look for the NFL. Nick, I definitely do want to touch on this play because you and I were both going back and forth about it, and it's a pivotal play in this game because instead of going up seven, the Lions, I believe, went up three. So let's talk about it. So it was a Jared Goff throw to help me out here in the corner.
Jared Goff lines up and he's acting like he's the quarterback, moves in motion, and it's a David Montgomery throw to the corner. It bounces off of Jared Goff's hands, bounces onto Amon-Ra St. Brown's back. Jared Goff catches it and scores a touchdown. And about 25, 30 seconds later, after it's already been called a touchdown, the refs meet and they're like, okay, illegal motion. Now, Jared Goff was asked in the press conference, what is different for the rule? He said, what all of us have the understanding is I have to put my hands under center to establish myself as the quarterback, which he did not. He was set and he tapped Grant Glasgow's back to let him know I'm going in motion. He never put his hands under center. And I texted this to you. I was like, under center means you are literally
Touching their bum.
having your hands touching their bum, catching their farts.
Yeah.
Right? So that is what under center is. What Jared Goff did was not under center. And I guess they ruled that illegal motion plays. I don't even understand this. Illegal motion plays are not reviewable.
Wait.
But it was on a scoring play.
Just thinking about this right now, I'm actually. So you and I both just talked about this, but the scoring play is reviewable, 100%. But is it just to the extent that is it a touchdown or not? They can't go in and find a penalty like that. It's just to see if it's a touchdown or not.
Correct.
So.
So any scoring play in terms of being reviewed is whether it's a score or not.
Nothing
They
else.
can nothing else.
That's exactly what I thought. And I was also confused because when you mentioned that illegal motion is not reviewable, I also looked it up and the same thing came up. I'm super confused. I'd love to know anybody who maybe has more knowledge than I do. How can that be? Because now refs can go on scoring plays and look for flags and make one up if they want to. I don't think so.
Been watching football
I've never
for
seen that.
18 years, and I've never seen that.
That's the first time I've seen that. I'm not kidding you, dude. I'm not even, I hate the Lions, but man, what does that mean for other teams going forward?
We saw it with the Chicago game.
I have no words because things like that are just like inexcusable. Yeah, I don't know. I know the ref, actually the ref got interviewed. I did read a post about it and he did get interviewed explaining the rule, but he never went into why they were allowed to review the scoring play for a penalty.
Yeah, so my
Or
what I've been hearing is I guess New York got involved, but if illegal motion's not reviewable, why is New York getting involved?
perhaps the play couldn't have happened without Jared Goff in motion. Therefore, if Jared Goff started the playoff, I guess it'd be illegal to start with. Maybe that's what they saw.
But if here's where I get that,
Yeah.
right? If it's illegal motion,
It's not.
why wait until 20 seconds or two? I think it was 2 minutes of real time. 2 minutes after the play is already ruled a touchdown, why not throw the flag as soon as he goes in motion?
I don't understand that too. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Clearly they didn't see it until afterwards, or dude, I could not tell you right now.
My issue is with that, if they didn't see it, then rule it a touchdown and keep it a touchdown.
Right, exactly.
Because with all these penalties, oh, if you didn't see it, there's no flag. That's how everything is.
Yeah, it's not like
If you don't,
it's not every
yeah.
play. I was just gonna say a regular play, not even a scoring play, just any play. You can't go back and review it for a penalty. A game would
Right.
take 5 hours, but it doesn't make sense. And you could see it from both sides. I see it from both sides. I just want to know what the definitive answer is that allows the refs to review that play for a penalty. That's literally it.
Yeah, and then at the same time, during that entire sequence, the Lions get called for a delay of game as Jared Goff is talking to one of the refs.
Yeah, no, I did see that. That was actually
So,
ridiculous. I don't understand how that could be.
yeah, I don't
Yeah, I.
understand.
It was an unfortunate loss, the Lions. It wasn't a clean game by any means. It was questionable. A lot of ifs, should have, would have, could have. That's the unfortunate part about this game is you can't really take away like a fair, hey, this team outplayed us or whatever. That's the unfortunate part is I don't have a problem with the refs throwing flags, but when it comes down to the competitive integrity of the game, it just makes it unbearable to watch as a viewer because I was looking forward to this game, Alliance Chiefs rematch, Chiefs possibly going 2-4, Alliance could go 5-1. It just takes it all away.
Yeah, and to touch on that, it takes away from the game itself because a lot of those plays turned into scores for the Chiefs. And I mean, that illegal motion, 4-point swing right there.
Exactly.
So when me and you were talking, it was like, oh, the refs didn't really influence the outcome of the game. They did.
No, they
They
did.
100%.
I will say I did say that first, but after watching the Bears game, I'm not kidding you. I think the refs gave them about 10 points, like a 10-point swing. It was just ridiculous, man.
Yeah, so let's move on from that before I punch a hole into this closet. Let's talk about something that happened just a couple days ago. I believe it was yesterday in terms of recording. So this happened on Monday. The retirement of a NFC North legend played for three out of four NFC North teams. Za'Darius Smith retires after 11 seasons where he played for the Packers, Vikings, Lions, Browns, and the Eagles.
Yeah, what a legendary career he had. Great pass rusher for the Green Bay Packers. I definitely enjoyed his time in Green Bay. Him and Preston Smith, what a dynamic duo they were. But yeah, just a great 11 seasons he had. I think he probably still had gas in the tank. We'll get into the Eagles situation a little bit later because they play the Vikings, but I wonder what made him retire. Not gonna lie.
I think it was, I saw a video on TikTok where it was like he doesn't want to face Cam Scataboo ever again.
Very interesting.
But you talked about his time in the with the Packers. I thank him for his time with the Lions, obviously acquired during the trade deadline last year to replace Hutchinson as he was injured. And just yesterday was a year since Aiden Hutchinson broke his leg. So he's going for comeback player of the year. And Za'Darius Smith, I wish we would have re-signed him. But that would have been an insane duo with Hutchinson and Za'Darius Smith. But I'm happy with Al-Quadeen Muhammad. And obviously now with Za'Darius Smith retiring, it would have sucked if he would have retired mid-season as a Lion. So then we had to work around everything. But legendary career, 11 seasons, and really played a key factor in the NFC North in general.
So, speaking on NFC North, Nick, let's go ahead and preview into week number 7 as starting off Vikings coming off a bye week playing the Philadelphia Eagles in Minnesota. the Eagles. Not to talk about the East, but man, they're in some struggles here. Ever since AJ Brown talked about wanting more targets, they've dropped two games, one to the New York Giants, pretty handily too. Not just got beat 23-20, it was a 34-17 smackdown. Not to say I unfortunately have faith that the Eagles will bounce back here. I don't think the Vikings have a quarterback who's sustainable in this big time game, so.
Yeah, I'll even second that. I think the Eagles bounce back as,
They need to.
like you said, the Vikings not really having a quarterback situation that favors them in this game. But Eagles need a bounce back after dropping to the Giants with Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo just
Over them.
lighting it up against you guys.
Yeah.
So it needs to be a bounce back for the Eagles. And I think it's, I don't know, are we calling a close game or are we saying a blowout?
I think
I'm leaning towards a close game.
yeah, I got the Eagles. I'd say about 30 to 20 or 28-20, something like that.
I was
That's
gonna
my opinion.
say 28-14, two touchdown game.
That's a blowout.
Blowouts is what the Lions did to the Bears earlier this season.
Yeah. Speaking of the Bears, we got a snoozer of a game here. We got the Saints at Chicago. My gosh, man. So
Give me
here's
Chicago.
the question. Yeah, I know we got Chicago here, but they're on a hot streak. So do we think that they would, if they do win this week, which they should, do we see them as like a legit contender? I guess we can talk about this next week if they do win, because they're on a little bit of a hot streak here. And could get spicy in the NFC North between these three teams. But I guess we'll leave that for next week. We'll talk.
I'll answer this a little bit and then we'll say it again next week. I don't think we can call them contenders if they beat the Saints.
Oh, no, I'm just saying though. 4-2, we'll see.
Yeah, dude, they were 4-2 last year and we all know what happened.
Very true. Next up, we got the Green Bay Packers taking on the Arizona Cardinals with possibly Jacoby Brissett. They did fight against the Colts. I just think the Packers are still a better team, and it won't, I don't want to, no, it'll be close, but maybe like once again, like a 28-20 game. I don't know. Packers and West Coast, they
You
don't play the
know
best.
what? You know what? I bet against the Packers last week and I'm doing it again. I think you mentioned it. The Packers in the West Coast have not been good historically. And like you said, the Cardinals had a close one against the Colts. And I think if you keep getting same plays back to back from Matt LaFleur, this Cardinals defense is going to read on that and they're going to expose it. So I have the Cardinals winning 35 to 28.
Wow, absolutely high scoring game. Yeah, I got my Green Bay Packers, of course. I don't know how this game will go. I don't have a running game at the moment, so we'll have to hopefully shut that down, get some pressure on Jacoby Brissett or Murray. Next up, we got your Buccaneer or your Detroit Lions taking on the Buccaneers. My goodness. Monday Night Football, back-to-back primetime nights or games. You bet against my Packers, I'm going to bet against your Lions. I'm taking the Buccaneers 20, 31, 23.
Okay, so here's where I am at with this game. Obviously, the Bucs without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin again this next week. But the Lions' secondary is looking a lot like the Lions' front end last year. A lot of injuries. With DJ Reed out, Terrion Arnold most likely out again, Brian Branch most likely facing a one-game suspension, depending on the appeal that happens this week. And Kerby Joseph still favoring one knee, and potentially Avante Maddox being out again in terms of the backup safeties. Think it really depends on if the Lions' front end can get to Baker Mayfield and get him under pressure. Now, we also saw last week with the Buccaneers, Emeka Ebuka. I think that's how you say his name. Yep. He went down with an injury. So potentially the Buccaneers' top three receivers being out going into this next game against the Lions. I think that favors the Lions with how explosive this offense can be. And I think if you get Sam Laporta involved with the Lions offense, it could be something special for the Lions. I'm going to take the Lions. I think it's going to be a close game. I think both are high-powering offenses, both facing injuries. And I'm going to take them 28-24. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Lions are going to squeak this one out.
Yeah, it'll be a great game. I can't wait to talk about it next week. I can't wait to talk about all these games next week as we finally have all four NFC North teams playing again.
Yeah, so that's going to do it in today's episode. Let us know down below if you have any other predictions for the NFC North. And if you agree with us saying that the penalties need to have a standard going forward in the NFL, I wonder if Roger Goodell is actually going to do anything about it. I highly doubt it, but hopefully something happens with the penalties. But make sure to follow us on social media. Twitter is at GridironPodNFL. And go follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We post every single Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yeah, we'll see you guys in the next one. See ya.